Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson inspires others to live each day from the heart and to live in the present moment. This hit show invites you to participate in expressing and experiencing the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment. Elizabeth is joined by world-renowned experts who provide true stories of overcoming adversity and how they aligned their values and beliefs to get clear on creating a vision and living their dream. They'll provide you with intuitive guidance, tools, techniques, and support to assist you in living with purpose and passion. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. Whether the topic is about health, family, work, relationships, finances, or spirituality, you'll be saying yes to live the life you were intended to live. Now, here is your host, Elizabeth Cookson.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I am so excited to be back. I had an amazing vacation last week with my family, and we went to the sunny state of Florida, where we visited Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and all the characters there at Disney World, and went on to Universal Studios to play with the Minions and Despicable Me. It was a blast. We had so much fun. So I hope that each and every one of you were able to enjoy your Thanksgiving, your holiday, your Black Friday, your Cyber Monday, and today it is just going to be an amazing Wednesday, and we are going to fill your heart, and I just can't wait to share my guests with you. But before we get started, I want to invite you to connect with me after the show at Elizabeth Cookson, that's CUCKSON.com, and I have opened my Facebook page back up. I had to close it down temporarily to do a couple repairs, and it is now back open, so I would love to get your opinions and any recommendations you would like to hear or guests you'd like me to bring on the show. So let's get started. This morning my prayer began with, how can I help the listeners and anyone who is hurting today? And one of the things that came through was that the angels really want us to align our actions to match our values and do what is right for you. So many times we're people pleasers and we just want to be, you know, that person that helps so many people, and sometimes we forget to help ourselves. And so the message that we're getting is, don't feel guilty, don't feel ashamed, but really come from your heart. Come from that place where you can help yourself and others, but you don't have to carry them. And so many of you do know my story, where I have been carrying my son for so many years, and now 18, and our special guest today, Richard, is going to share with us why this is not such a great thing to do. And now, you know, I'm trying to help him get on his own and do his best in life. So let's go ahead and let me just share a little bit about our guest today. At the age of 40, author Richard Melnick, then he was a dad with two sons that were 3 and 5, and he was diagnosed with cancer. So as you can imagine, suddenly he had all these fears, and he just didn't know what he was going to do with his sons. You know, are they going to miss me? And he had all these questions rushing through his head of how are they going to manage, and whether it be with the family, financially. And from this experience, he has created an amazing book, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes. And there are so many lessons. It's also entertaining. It's super easy to read. And he dives into some of the most interesting aspects of life and how to really address those with ease. And one of the things, you know, he was fueled by the sense of urgency, because Richard really introduces his two sons, Jackson and Josh, to ideas of how to be an adult. Even though they were such young children, everything was done realistically. And I think that in his book, he really suggests that parents must be willing to grow as well as we grow with our children. And at the end of the day, you know, you really can't teach your child to be authentic if you can't be authentic yourself. So without further ado, Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And, oh, it is my pleasure. And, you know, I really enjoyed reading your book. And I think one of the first questions, and it's really important to me and to many of my listeners, and I just love that you share authenticity. And so I want to ask you, what does it truly mean to you to be authentic?
Well, it means being willing to feel the truth of your existence and whatever it might be in that moment. And I think a helpful step is to learn to differentiate between thinking and feeling. That was one of the skills that I thought that I taught my boys, teach my boys, when they were little, 3 and 5. The book sort of stems out of conversations that I had with them at about that age and then later on as well. And so I think authenticity is being willing to feel the truth of whatever it might be from moment to moment to moment. And then I think socially it's helpful to learn to navigate your authenticity in a way that's skillful and doesn't put your drama on others, if you will.
And I think, Very well said, because I think with the holidays, can you imagine how much drama people are feeling right now from others?
Well, absolutely, but it's, I think that's one of the points that I hope to bring out in the book, is that it's your own drama, and it's your own reactivity, and learn to keep a good boundary, and learn to not look to others to feel good about yourself. Give up your need to be right, to be heard, to be understood, and just sit with your own discomfort. Feelings are a transient energy. And they come and go if they're not resisted. And so I think if we're willing to feel the truth of our being, if we're willing to be authentic, through that action, we purify our soul. And one of my teachers is a woman named Eva Perakos, and she wrote a book I read maybe 30 years ago. It's called Guide Lectures for Self-Transformation. And in her book, she says something to the effect of, as we're willing to experience our raw fears and vulnerabilities, we purify our own soul. And it's only the purified soul that can stand long in the blinding light of divine love, I think was her quote exactly. And that just grabbed me 30 years ago. And I was like, well, why not? Just be willing to feel, be aware of your feelings, and then, you know, paradoxically aware of awareness is what another one of my teachers would say. And so I think authenticity is the cornerstone of raising kids that are independent and self-actualized and happy. And again, you want to align your actions, like you said, with your values. And I'm curious, you said you were carrying your son until he was 18, which wasn't a great thing. And what did you mean by that, and why do you say that?
And, you know, I think this is a great discussion because, you know, in your book you talk a lot about, you know, letting, you know, instead of me doing the dishes and, you know, me folding the laundry and making all the beds, well, that's what I was like. You know, I didn't want to see my son get hurt. There was a lot of things, you know.
So dishpan hands, that could be fatal.
Yes, my nails, you know, can you imagine? So so if you really look at it holistically, you know, I did everything. I was divorced, and I was trying to do everything I could for my son to be successful, including carrying him, meaning doing everything for him so that he did not fail. And now, as you mentioned in the book, you know, that wasn't the best decision for me at that time to have done all that, because now being 18, he can't really stand on his own. It's not the time for him to make all the mistakes.
Well, you were a single mom. Is it correct you were a single mom?
I was a single mom for a while, yes. But, you know, even though when I did marry to my husband now, he's just an amazing man, and he is what we call Marshmallow Man because he's so gooey-ooey-lovey. He'll do anything for you, even dishes. And so, so needless to say, I think, you know, I did him a disservice in many ways. But now, you know, we're working with him to really become that adult that he's intended to be and not carrying him. We're here to support him, to love him, and it's just it's something that after I read your book, it's like, gosh, if I could have had that, you know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe I would have looked at life a little bit differently. But I also wasn't the same person 10 years ago. So,
well,
you know,
I think we all want to protect our kids from hurts, of course. That's, you know, as a parent, that's our instinct. And we want their life to be as gracious and as easy as possible. and or at least as rich as possible. But, you know, the flip side of that is that you just can't selectively feel. You can't, the system doesn't work like that. The degree to which, I believe, the degree to which you're able to feel pain is the same degree to which you're able to feel pleasure. And so why not build resilience at an early age and teach kids to manage their reactivity, even if they don't feel like doing the dishes? Well, maybe there's something beneficial, some character development that can happen as a result of that. And then also I think it's just good to teach kids to practice service and align their habits and their values with gratitude and paying tribute. And, of course, the flip side to, for all the dishes my kids have done and all the other helpful stuff they do is that I respect their sovereignty in a really radical way. I'm hyper-vigilant to not tell them what to do and to not put my template on them and to not boss them around or micromanage them in any way. My strong bias is that they know what's best for themselves. And that as a parent, I just want to stay out of putting my imprint on them.
And it's really important. I think, you know, when you talk about being an individual, you know, we're here as parents, and I love how you said, you know, they picked us because they did.
Right.
They're like, hey, you know what, that's going to be my mom and dad right there, and I'm going to be the teacher to them as well as them be a teacher back to me. And, you know, there's so many things that if you're willing to open your eyes, your heart, and your mind to your children, they truly are teachers for us.
No question.
And are an amazing gift to each of us. And I know we're going to have a commercial break here just in a moment, but what I love to talk about when we come back from commercial is control. I think one of the biggest things as a parent that I had to master, and I still continue to work on, is control. You know, because I just wanted things to be so perfect, so right, you know, and just like you say, it's the verbiage that we use. You know, I learned to quit using the words should and but and, you know, certain things like that from a judgment perspective and being more mindful and considerate of my children. And so it's been super interesting to see a lot of the transformation from my older three children and now my two younger children and how I've parented. It's definitely different. And, you know, your book was an amazing reminder to me to say, sit and chill for a second and put on that neon bracelet or that hideous bracelet that you have in your book. Just to remind me to say, hey, Elizabeth, you know, you don't need to control. You don't need to be nasty. Just take a deep breath and realize that we have so much to offer, and it's a two-way street. It's about communication. It's about respecting each other and really learning about one another and what we're doing. So I know we have to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about control. So everyone, you're listening to From the Heart Radio with Elizabeth Cookson and my special guest, Richard Melnick, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment as you listen to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com. Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy free.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camino Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade grown delicious coffee. The Camino Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 250 callers. The number is toll free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
Are back from the Heart Radio with Elizabeth Cookson and my special guest today, Richard Melnick. And before we took a break, we were talking about control and how so much of our lives tend to be controlled by other people or ourselves or our thoughts or our actions. And Richard has a chapter which we can't really state the title on the air, but when you buy Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, you can check it out. I believe it's on page 36. And Richard, let's talk a little bit about, you know, control, because one of the things, you know, that you experienced, which, you know, I just want to say I am just so proud of you for getting through colon cancer. I can't imagine what you went through, how scary that must have been for you and your family, and that is a perfect experience of really having no control.
Well, you're very definitely right. And what it taught me was to participate in the moment, practice pretty radical immediacy. And so, yeah, I was super afraid of, you know, like you said in the beginning of the show, who was going to raise my kids and how would they be supported and so on and so forth. And what I learned was that in the moment, there was nothing to be afraid of. All my fears were based on projections into the future. And so, yeah, I didn't have any control of the next moment, but I could express gratitude for this moment, and that was deeply healing. And it occurred to me that maybe gratitude is an essential element for healing, whether it's body, mind,
absolutely,
or soul.
Absolutely. It's, if gratitude is your attitude, then everything's just great. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then as the control relates to parenting, I think that if you teach your kids to listen to themselves in real time and make decisions on their own, whatever their situation might be, then I think you've done your job as a parent. And I think by coddling or micromanaging them, you're probably feeding your own ego and energizing your fears and preventing them from being fully actualized kids. And I think instead of, you know, being a tiger mom and micromanaging your kid and they need to do this or they should do that, instead I think if you keep a good boundary around what behavior is just unacceptable to you, then and don't allow that to happen by virtue of some, you know, consequences with teeth. But I think if you can learn to hold your tongue around all the little annoyances that show up and somehow manage your reactivity, respect those kids' individualism and their sovereignty, then you'll witness what my friend Robin called, and I'm quoting her, she called it the beauty of the death of control. And when those words came out of her mouth, I was just stunned and my jaw dropped, and I was like, yes, that's it. It's a beautiful event when you give up control. And all these unintended beautiful consequences occur as a result, at least in my experience and in Robin's as well. And it's just common sense.
Yeah, and I can even share, yeah, from my own, I think it takes a lot more energy to control. And when you realize how much energy it takes to control yourself and to control other people, it's like, gosh, what was I doing? Why was I spending so much time, you know, trying to force things to happen?
And it's a never-ending project.
Yes.
Always something else that you need to worry about or plot and plan to have the outcome that you want or the outcome you don't want or to avoid it.
Exhausting.
I interrupted.
Exhausting.
Go on.
No, I'm just saying exhausting. And, you know, this is a perfect topic. We are approaching the holidays again. So we just finished Thanksgiving and moving now into the holidays. And one of the things that I share in some of the speeches that I give in topics is all about the gift of the present moment. And so you just touched on that, and I think it's so important to share, you know, with family and friends and people coming together for the holidays. We may not necessarily, you know, love the other people that we get together with at the holidays, but I think if you just take a couple moments and take a deep breath about being in the present moment and realize that everything that's happening around you is actually happening around you. You don't have to control it. And if you could, sometimes, you know, when it just seems like, it's like, really, do I have to keep the, you know, going to, you know, to Aunt Judy's house or whatever, just think about just being there and enjoying the moment. Have some eggnog, have some turkey or ham or whatever it is that you're going to do, and just enjoy the moment. But you
don't
have to control.
That's right. And I think it plays back to what we were talking about before on the topic of authenticity. If you're willing to take off your mask and be authentic and be who you are, not look to somebody else to feel good about yourself and, oh, I have to impress, you know, Uncle Seymour, or, oh, I don't want to talk to Aunt Judy, or, you know, whatever it might be. Instead, if you can just take off your mask and just be okay with the moment the way it is, then things just sort of unfold naturally. And you don't create drama.
You don't create drama, and you're not controlling, and it doesn't take energy, and you can just look at it as a third party, be an observer. And that might be something completely different and foreign to what you've done. And that's the way that I learned how to let go of control. One of my teachers, and we'll talk about this too when we come back from commercial break, because we have a very similar teacher, but one of the teachers that I studied with in Florida, actually, she had talked to me about a mirror image, that sometimes we have lessons in front of us that are truly a mirror of ourselves. And one of the things that I realized is like, oh, I like to control, so now my children are controlling, maybe the people at work are controlling, and so that energy is bouncing back at me to say, hey, how do you like it? And so when I finally realized that I was controlling, and I was controlling my children and trying to control their behavior and control what they did and how they spoke and how they walked, and, you know, a little exaggerated there, but you kind of get my point. And it was exhausting. So when I finally said, okay, when something pops up in front of me, the next time it happens, I'm going to look at that as a mirror image of myself and say, okay, why is this showing up? And then go, okay, how can I change Elizabeth? How can I change myself? And not be that mirror image. And then when it shows up again, how does it affect me? And so time after time, eventually it didn't bother me anymore when I saw that certain behavior, because I had been working on myself to let go a lot of those energies, a lot of those thoughts, a lot of those emotions and associations that I had from being a child. And when I let a lot of that go, then when people came in front of me, it may be an energetic discomfort, but what they did, I realized, was about themselves. It wasn't about
me. Right, and you were able to offer them compassion instead of victimizing them in return.
Absolutely.
Because when you're looking to control someone, you're victimizing them in an energetic sense. And perhaps it stems from your own feeling of being victimized yourself. I don't know. I assume
yes,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. As a
and
child,
so,
you know, there was so much I went through. And then I want to say it was that, you know, almost vomiting on other people. It's like, well, that wasn't pleasant.
For them either, I imagine.
Right? It is. Right. It's like an energetic waste that you're giving out, and it's like not pleasant. And so we can realize what we really want to share is love, compassion, peace, joy. You know, there's just being authentic. And when you realize it doesn't matter what other people think, you know, that's when it's like you have that aha moment.
Exactly.
And you rise. And I think that's one of the things right now, that so many people are starting to get that aha moment, and they're coming out of their shells, and we're starting to see a lot more people less afraid to be authentic, to be themselves. So we're going to break for a commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to share Richard's book, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, and somebody that Richard doesn't know that we know in common. We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, no.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their life.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment as you listen to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com.
And welcome back to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson and my special guest, Richard Melnick. And Richard, do you have a website or any information about where people can pick up your book that you want to share with our listeners today?
Well, sure. They can go to Amazon.com and buy the book, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, or they can go to ParentsWhoDon'tDoDishes.com and they can purchase the book there. And there's also a Facebook page if they'd like to read a few excerpts or build in the community there. They'd be more than welcome to join and like it.
All right. Awesome. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and surprise you. I was reading through your book, and I'm like, no way. You actually met and studied with the Dalai Lama, and so did I.
Well, I did not study with him.
How awesome is that? Oh, you did not?
No, I did not. I spent 3 hours with him in his office maybe 20 years ago, 1988.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and so you studied with him? Tell me about that.
Well, there was a large group of people, and we won't take up the whole show on this, and we can talk more offline, but it was just an amazing experience, and I think it ties nicely into the experience and transformation for me. And that was, I went to the World Peace Event. It's been, it was last July of 2011, so about a year and a half ago, and it was in D.C., and everything unfolded just beautifully. And right. I was able to go to study, with, and it was a large group of people. So you know, I didn't get to go in his office like you did, but I had some amazing things that happened in really listening and studying with what he had to share about compassion and about love and just having inner peace. And in that experience and with all the monks and the chanting and everything that we had during the day, and this was he was actually there longer than I attended, but I think he was there for over a week and a half. And mm-hmm. I was able to be fortunate enough to actually attend for, I think it was four days. And my heart opened, and I was just so impressed by him. And from that, I really came home, and I started to really think about what was I missing in life. And we hit on it, and it was about control. And I realized that everything I was trying to do was from a controlling perspective. It wasn't from a peace perspective. And so I started to do a lot more research and a lot more work and inner work on finding inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I realized everyone was a lot happier, my family, my friends. And I did change out several friends in that whole process because I no longer resonated with that vibration. It was more peaceful. I wasn't into the drama. I wasn't into a lot of those things that I had been in. And now I feel so alive. I feel very present. And I think one of the things that you had mentioned in your book, and I want to take a quote from one of the chapters that you have. It says, your family is a laboratory. Feel free to experiment. And I had to laugh a little bit because I'm like, you know what? Parents don't come with a handbook.
Right.
And we do have to experiment. And, you know, the one thing that you said is you're not ultimately in control of anything anyway, which is so true. And I think when you're expressing this in your book, I'm like going, you know what? Right, because I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and no, I can try to control them. It's a lot of work. Or I can let them be themselves. They're little unique beings, and mm-hmm. and not be controlling and not carry them on my back like I had done in my past. And I love how you, and I'm trying to remember, one of your sons came to you when he was 15, right, about taking an overseas trip?
Right, 14. He wanted to drop out of high school, take a semester off, and go travel on his own throughout the Middle East and Europe. And that was definitely my moment of truth, as far as challenging my own sensibilities. And I thought about it, and I said, okay, you can do it. And he did it, and he traveled around, and I thought he'd come home a little humbler and wiser, and he did. His feathers were ruffled a bit, but it was a good experience for him. And he ended up finishing high school and graduating and going to a good college. And so it all ended up turning out okay. And that's an extreme example of, you know, giving up control. And it's not something I'd recommend for everyone necessarily, but it worked out.
And what I thought was so impressive, too, is he had saved his money. He had been working and saving his money because he was so passionate about doing this trip. And I just thought, wow, you know, that just shows, you know, when you have a vision and when you have something that you really want to do, we talked a little bit about not just the control, but also looking at our children as teachers and trusting. And mm-hmm. I definitely have teachers in all of my children. They're very, as many of the listeners are aware of, like indigo children, crystal children, rainbow children, they're all different types of children who've come back, if you will, and have these special gifts. And so many interesting things pop up in our household. I mean, and my five-year-old was talking to us just a week ago about Nazi concentration camps, and my mm-hmm. husband and I were looking at each other going, where in the world did he pick that up? And he was sharing things that just, it's like, no way a five-year-old could know. And we're like, how do you know this? He goes, I just know it. You know, we asked the teachers, like, nope, we didn't talk about it. And we're like, wow, mm-hmm. he must have been in a camp in a past life or something. But he just really was able to share stuff that we were like, wow, that's amazing. And he acts like an old man, and he's five. You know, he's just very wise, but he's also very quiet and to himself. Mm-hmm. In the sense of, we're like, all right, just tell us what you want. Just tell us what you want. And, you know, here we are being annoying, and and he's looking at us. It's almost like he's telepathically giving us the answer, and it's like, I really can't be bothered by opening my mouth. And
right.
So I know there's many people who are shaking their heads in the car right now and listening and saying, yes, yes, I have one of those kids, the big eyes, yes, and they don't speak, and they nod their head and they ignore me. Yes, well, they probably have any gift.
Maybe what he really wants is for you to shut the heck up.
Yes. Exactly. I'm telling you, I think that's just one of the things, is to just be in the moment, to be present.
Yeah.
And
right. I think a lot of parents,
things we're learning.
I think a lot of parents, they want to interact with their kid. Their kid's over there playing with the blocks or something, and you're in the next room cooking dinner, and you kind of know what he's doing, and you shout out, hey, what are you doing over there in the next room? And he's like, well, I'm playing with blocks. Why can't you just leave me alone? And it's like you need to somehow check in to confirm that you exist, as opposed to mm-hmm. really being concerned and care about what he's doing. Does that make any sense?
It does. And, you know, and it's kind of funny because that, you know, for me, I'm checking to make sure they're not burning my house down.
Well, of course, that too.
It's like, okay, they're so creative. You know, uh-huh. I'm thinking, okay, what are they up to? Because they are very quiet. And, you know, for us, it's like if it's noisy and you hear the yelling and running up and down the stairs, everything's awesome and they can just keep at it. When it gets silent...
Okay, well, chances are, Elizabeth, chances are they're not burning your house down, number one. And number two, what's the feeling that you're avoiding when you're cooking dinner and shouting out at them, hey, what are you doing? Knowing that whatever they're doing is probably fine. So maybe you feel anxious. Maybe you feel, I don't know, whatever it might be. And so my training, my teacher would have me ask myself, well, what's my objection to feeling anxiety right now? Before I open my mouth to shout out and put my template on them, even in a subtle way, and interrupt their creative flow, I would ask myself, well, I would try to identify the avoided emotion, and I would, maybe it would be anxiety, I don't know, and okay, what's my objection to feeling anxiety? And so I would close my eyes and feel that for 30 seconds, be the most anxious person that's ever lived, let go of the story about why I'm anxious, and then it all just becomes so humorous so quickly. And I think if we can train ourselves in a practice like that, then we can learn mm-hmm. to manage our reactivity and not just engage in inane conversation unintentionally meant to irritate others, including and especially your kids.
Absolutely. And so where do you feel that fine line is of being a parent and giving your child the ability to, I want to say, you know, be authentic. You know, because you're still responsible, you know, as a parent to help guide them, nurture them, and so forth. So where's that fine line?
The fine line is in making your suggestions respectfully. So you're paying attention to what they're doing. And instead of telling them you should do this or you should do that, you need to think this or that, instead you could ask them respectfully, hey, do you mind if I give you a suggestion about blah, blah, blah? And they'd say, oh, sure. And then you would say, well, I think it might be to your benefit to, and then fill in the blank. And then allow them to think about it. And then they will make decisions that are to their own benefit and maybe even integrate whatever it is that you suggested. And my experience is that if you make suggestions skillfully that respect mm-hmm. their sovereignty, then they're more likely to listen. I think the paradox is that you actually have more influence if you are super clear on how you speak to them and don't boss them around. I mean, that was definitely my experience.
I think the bossing and controlling is definitely, you know, it's not the most positive way to approach things. But let me give you an example, and this is one of my examples in my household, and that is, you know, I have two very strong-willed children, and mm-hmm. you get ready for school, and I love your story about your son wearing shorts in the middle of winter. I think that's a perfect fit for my household of letting right. the children, you know, dress backwards or whatever they're going to do, wrong shoes, whatever they're going to do. It's like, fine, right. you'll figure it out when somebody at school or you feel uncomfortable because the tag is rubbing your neck uh-huh. or something, you know, we'll let you turn it around. You know, I've let my kids go in different color socks. I don't care. But what about the situation of going to work, taking your kids to school, and they're just not going to get in the car? They're just not going to go. And I know there's several parents going, yeah, yeah, I got that one. How do you deal with the compromise or the communication to say, you know what, I'm going to be late for work, and or, you know, what is it that you do?
I would make
it
very. I would make
smaller child.
Well, what I would do is I would craft a boundary for myself that included consequences for the kid, and I would not yell and I would not scream at them to get in the car. I would cheerfully announce that if you don't get in the car, then, you know, such and such is going to happen. It could be the removal of a favored toy. It could be the cancellation of a favored activity. And the consequences mm-hmm. that I suggested when my boys were little were they were diabolical, and they were draconian, and they were designed to inflict age-appropriate hardship immediately. Mm-hmm. And they just knew not to mess with me. And then I wouldn't cave. And whatever the consequence was that was crafted for each particular child, then I would follow through if need be, and they just learned to respect my word. And then you could circle back to, you know, how is it not to your benefit to listen to me when you know this is important? I have created a boundary for myself, and this is just not acceptable. And so you might try by saying, you know, what is it that your five-year-old would just, what would be a total hardship for him? What would he miss the most if you were to take it away?
Oh, right now it's probably one of his toys. And I know we need to take a commercial break. But we can talk about that right when we get back. So
Okay. Everyone
stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Ryan's favorite toy.
Okay, great.
Are you ready to shift your life 180 degrees and bring more joy, more love, more money, and more happiness to your life? This can be your reality when you love yourself enough to experience our Essence of Gratitude Diamond Combo. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day and not only on specific occasions? Give yourself or a loved one this priceless gift, our Diamond Combo that includes all our creations and transforms your life in health, wealth, creativity, and enriched relationships. Awake the spark of joy and happiness during this holiday season and be part of a viral sharing as we spread the essence of gratitude around the world. Visit our shop for our special holiday offer at explorationgratitude.com.
Just stop what you are thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment as you listen to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com.
And welcome back to From the Heart Radio with Elizabeth Cookson and the author of Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, Richard Melnick. And we were talking a little bit before we took a break about what do you do when somebody just isn't willing to get in the car in the morning and you're like, all right, get your shoes, get your backpack, let's head out the door. And, you know, Richard said, hey, what is it that your kids really love that you could take away? And there's a couple things, you know, in our house, our kids are kind of nerdy. And so we have a little iPad for our kids and they play games. And they read and they do math things and they love to be challenged. So one of the things that would really just kind of take them back would be taking that iPad away, because then they can't compete with their challenging games. So that would be really difficult in our household. So that's a perfect example for what we could do, at least in our household.
Let me ask you a question. Can Ryan tell time? Does he have a watch?
He doesn't yet. No, he's only five.
He's only five. Okay, so then you could start with, what time do you have to be in the car till when you leave in the morning, 8 o'clock
so
or something?
We do 7:30, and so they all know the time on our big clock in the house that he has to be ready by 7:30.
So he does know how to tell time?
He does, uh-huh.
Okay, so that's an important life skill, and he's already mastered that, and again, if he can play these challenging video games, it would be surprising if he couldn't tell time. And so I would just tell Ryan that from now on, if he is not in the car without you asking by 7:30 each day, then there's going to be no more iPad. And I would just take it away. And this way, it will cause him to learn an important life skill, which is to show up on time and to be ready. Mm-hmm. And so he'll get himself organized, and then before you know it, he'll be in the car at 7:30 without you even having to ask him.
That is so awesome. I can't wait, and I will definitely get back with you and let you know how that goes.
Okay.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I have an early Christmas present. This is awesome. So, yeah, that's because they're very competitive, and they are definitely parent-pleaser children.
Right, and let me follow up. I'm sorry to interrupt, but... And then each time he gets in the car at 7:30 on time, including and especially the first day, I would tell him how much you appreciate that, how happy it makes you feel that he's there on time. Catch him being
definitely
good.
Definitely.
And so, yeah, you do the consequences on the one hand that are draconian, and on the other, you notice when they're engaging in the behavior that you want to develop.
Perfect. And, you know, and that's something I think so many of us forget to do. And it was one of the things that I put on my list of to-dos to make sure that whenever anybody, even my husband, does something wonderful, is to always say thank you and how much you appreciate it. Because I think so many times we're running around and we don't take the time to appreciate other people. I mean, just think about it, and I don't know how it was, you know, for everyone who's listening, but when I was a child, I wrote thank you notes for everything, whether it was a birthday card, it was a Christmas gift, you know, whatever it was that I received, I wrote a thank you note to that person. And now we text and we Facebook and we do things like that. And the one thing that I think that is important is to spend time each day in what you're grateful for. And so you just have that moment of gratitude. And I do that every single morning before I get out of bed. And some people may call it a morning prayer. Mine's my gratitude for just actually waking up the next day and saying, thank you for giving me another opportunity at life and to share myself with others and to learn from other people and so forth. There's so many things, the roof over your head, the food for your body, your health. You know, there's so many things that we take for granted. And I have found the more I'm grateful for the things in my life, the more I receive. And so just don't forget all the people in your lives. If you're listening right now, I know you may not want to go to certain places for holidays, but just be grateful for all the lessons that you've learned, for all the experiences that you've had, because that's part of your journey and how you're able to help so many other people from the lessons that you've learned in life. Just as Richard has shared in his book, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes, there's so many amazing experiences from Richard in this book and how he was able to get through them, these life lessons, and how he shares them and how he was able to get through it. So, Richard, I want to thank you so much for sharing your book with the world, because I really do think it's wonderful. I know you've raised two boys, but I also think it's very applicable for girls as well, because I think that you can apply the concepts in the book to any child. So I want to say thank you so much for putting this book together and sharing it.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I know we've got a few minutes, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, here we're talking about gratitude, and I think it's important, because without the book and without sharing your honest opinion, we have parents who are sitting here pulling their hair out going, God, I have this teenager, and they're talking back, and I'm struggling, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, there's so many of us who have gone through that. There's also amazing kids and teenagers out there that are very respectful. And I think it's, you know, sometimes we look in the mirror and go, God, what did we do? And I can say for myself.
I'm sorry, go on. I interrupted you.
No, I just could say that for myself, I realized that I was putting all my fears onto my own children versus allowing them to grow and be themselves and to listen to them. I wasn't being authentic and not allowing my children to be authentic. And when I finally released that control, I saw such amazing children, and I learned so much from them by letting go to let them grow. So that was what I wanted to share, is just I think it's something all of us can learn from and just let things go to allow our children to be who they're intended to be.
Yeah, and it's a fantasy that life should be free from disturbance. And learning to manage your reactivity is an essential skill, and I think that it's never too late. And so for the 17-year-old that's disrespectful and that hasn't been taught properly, I think you go to them with humility and say, I'm sorry, I did not teach you this lesson properly, and going forward it's going to be a little different. I'm going to have a good boundary around me, and if you're going to speak to me in that fashion, then you know, there's going to be a consequence, and here's what it's going to be, and it should have teeth. And then kids can, they do what's to their own benefit. I think we all do, and so it's to their benefit to learn to manage reactivities, to their benefit to learn to feel deeply. And then I think you get a sense of spaciousness, and you don't really fear what life may bring next. It may be disturbing, it may be pleasurable, but there's a sense of equanimity, and peacefulness. At least that's been my experience. I'm sorry, it sounds a little preachy, but I think...
No, it's good. It's just like the analogy with the plant. If you don't water the plant, it's not going to grow. And it's the same thing with everything in life. If we don't give it love and compassion and the freedom, you know, it's going to be stifled and it's not going to grow. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show today. We need to wrap up. And I want to just say thank you to everyone today. Once again, Parents Who Don't Do Dishes with author Richard Melnick. And I will speak with all of you next week and share some amazing stories from the Heart Radio. Please join me every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Until then, blessings and love. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson, an inspiration to others to live each day from the heart and to live in the present moment. If you missed any part of this program or would like to get in touch with Elizabeth Cookson, please visit ElizabethCookson.com. Tune in each week on Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio. A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.